taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
All right, the 11th of September, 2001, a day that changed America forever. And while we keep an eye on the end of Irma, we also keep an eye on our history and who we are as a nation, as we just discussed. And September the 11th is a story that needs to be shared with our children and our grandchildren to the best of our ability, so that they understand what happened that day and why America is an exceptional nation. Because when America is challenged with a great tragedy, we rise like no one else. My next guest, Jessica DeLong, has written a new book, Dust to Deliverance: Untold Stories from the Maritime Evacuation on September 11th. Jessica, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start with this book. First of all, what was your relationship to 9/11, and what motivated you to write this book? And then I want to explore it a bit deeper.
Sure. I am chief engineer of retired New York City fireboat, and which is called John J. Harvey. And I was very new to my position, so didn't really have an established identity as a mariner on September 11th. But many other people were well entrenched in their careers as mariners and rose to this situation with an amazing capacity to help. So I was like so many other Americans that morning. I was watching what was happening on television and then, you know, wandering around trying to give blood. I was in Brooklyn that morning, so across the river and the harbor from Manhattan. And I had this striking memory of speaking with a police officer that morning and saying, you know, what can we do? I want to help. There's nothing to do. What can I do? And he said, they don't know what to do with us, he said. And that really, you know, struck me, because here was a law enforcement officer and no one knew where to put him either. Meanwhile, what was happening in Lower Manhattan was, within a minute after the first plane hit, even before anybody knew that this is terrorism, the ferry crews and captains were already aware that a disruption at the World Trade Center was going to mean a transportation disruption, and they were already on it. Of course, we know that this wasn't an accident, and the cascade of catastrophe continued to unfold. And as that unfolded, more and more mariners, instead of steering clear of the disaster area, they pointed their boat straight for the dust, and they managed to evacuate nearly 500,000 people that morning by boat in a completely spontaneous, unplanned rescue that really is just remarkable.
Yeah, let me jump in right there. So you had just become, did you say, chief engineer of retired New York City fireboats?
Well, this is some years ago, so I was still an apprentice that morning, which is... it's a long apprenticeship that I did, and I've now been chief engineer for the past 9 years. In addition to being a marine engineer, I'm also a historian and a journalist, and so I was really called to tell this story, which is a story, as you say, of people rising to their best selves when confronted with dark situations, and that's really what was on display that morning.
Yeah, no nation rises like America when challenged with a tragedy or a catastrophe. I don't think any nation rises the way we do. I think it's been evidenced recently in Harvey 2 weeks ago. We are seeing the same thing now as Irma finally makes its way out of Florida, and the convergence of resources and people of complete strangers reaching out their hands to help people and to embrace people and give them comfort in a time of darkness. And that's exactly the story you're telling here, isn't it?
It really is. This story really highlights this reflexive human compulsion that we have to help others. It really is who we are as humans. We, when things don't get interrupted, our human nature, our basic human nature, is to respond to tragedy and difficulty with kindness and compassion and solidarity and resourcefulness. And that's really what the mariners and everybody displayed that morning on September 11th. And that's really the story that I think is so important, as you said, to teach our children and our grandchildren the best way that we know how. That's the message that I think is so important on this anniversary morning.
Well, people, you know, it's kind of even took me a little bit by surprise when you stop and think about the fact that the graduating class from this high school year wasn't born, many of them, on September 11th. The high school class graduating this year, 2018, many of whom, you know, the younger ones for sure, weren't even born on the day that it all occurred. By next year, they'll all be born after 9/11. Think about that. I mean, how it struck you. You're there in Brooklyn. I'm here in Michigan. And we're all affected, though, by the images we see. You could hear it and smell it more directly than I could, but I don't think that was any less impactful on people around the country that were watching. A good friend of mine called that day, a man's man, if you will, a guy who is, you know, grit and rough and tough. He was in tears when he called me after the second plane hit. This is how it affected people.
Yeah. No, it's really true, and it has this lasting legacy, and it's so important that we be very mindful of what that legacy is, and really, this is providing an opportunity for us to remember how we come together and who we are as individuals who come together and help each other despite our differences. And it really, it affected people across the board, as you say. And, you know, for me, I had the experience on the morning of being removed, like so many people in New York City, but removed. But then I ended up at Ground Zero serving in my engineering capacity for several days after the attacks. And so I have both experiences, and you know, it was a tremendous life-changing event, even for people who are far away. And one of the things that my sources told me over and over again, people I spoke with about the book, is that the strange situation is that the closer you were to what was unfolding, the less you actually knew about what was going on. And so in a sense, people were reaching out to friends and family that they could actually reach by phone, who were watching TV, to try to find out like what to do and where to go. So yes, it affected everybody, and there's just this important moment right here to remember who we are and how we come together.
Let me ask you this, Jessica. You know, when you reflect on that day and the first conversation you had with that police officer, and he said they don't know what to do with us, and if they don't know what to do with those guys, they certainly don't know what to do with the rest of you that are trying to help. A complete chaos. But what sticks out in your mind? What kind of things, you know, do you remember the most about that day?
Well, you know, what's really interesting is that conversation with the police officer, the fact is that the Mariners, who were well established in their careers, they didn't stop and think. They didn't ask anybody. They just acted. They recognized that they had boats, that they had people were literally running until they ran out of land on Manhattan Island. Manhattan is an island which we lose sight of sometimes, you know, with all our modern conveniences. But there were people so desperate and really suffocating in the dust clouds that they jumped into the water. An untold number of water rescues were performed that day by mariners who took full advantage of their monthly man overboard drills to save people, rescue people out of the water. People who, one of the stories that I recount in great detail is a young woman who did that. She jumped into the water, not at all realizing that the harbor currents there are really perilous,
right.
And she was rescued out of the water. So people, mariners knew that they didn't wait to ask anybody what to do. There was no one higher up who was telling them and orchestrating.
They saw a problem and they went to work, is what you're telling me. They saw a problem, went to work.
Absolutely.
Now hold that thought, because I want to get back to that. Jessica DeLong here, reflecting on some of the untold stories of 9/11, and a fascinating story how the Mariners of New York City banded together and moved almost 500,000 people off the island of Manhattan the morning of September the 11th. Hold that thought right there. Centria Healthcare supports the Coalition Protecting Auto No Fault here in Michigan. Centria Healthcare is a leading provider of catastrophic injury rehab. If someone you know has been injured in a car accident, has a child in need, or in home nursing, you know of someone diagnosed with autism, give us a call and an expert can navigate you down the right path. Specialists are available 24/7 at CentriaHealthcare.com, 877-299-1655. Back in a moment.